in two or three or four Berettas, raincoats in the big, big parade. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Wear your plastic raincoats in the big parade. Mannequins are so afraid. Don't be afraid to show your stripes, because the mannequins is always right. Plastic raincoats in the pig parade.
After yet another pig parade, have you got your plastic raincoat ready? It's the Day Trippers. After 2 weeks of Grace time to ponder his options and make some big calls, Brendan Rodgers fielded a side with the same old faces, in the same old positions, making the same old mistakes. It's now reached the ridiculous stage where every game is huge, and yet realistically the chances of rescuing a wretched season are diminishing with every inept performance. So what's really going on? I'm joined on the line by Carl Kopak, and in the bunker with me tonight is the world's least likely support group, consisting of Neil Gray, Moley, Andy Young, Damo Flood and Phil Casey. Okay, let's review Crystal Palace versus Liverpool.
No.
Pretty hard to do this without feeling a little bit mad, like you're in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is kind of exactly how I feel in the bunker here tonight. People oscillating wildly from confused to livid and back again. Lessons not being learned. And frankly, before we address any of the little details of the match, I want to talk about the Brendan-shaped elephant in the corner. And Carol, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay. And ask you a very simple question. Are the signs there that this might be a man who's kind of slowly losing the plot?
In terms of his body language yesterday, yes. Because normally he sort of rolls his shoulder and tries to sort of, you know, break out the sort of Jimmy Cagney look. And says, I'm in control of everyone. He looked broken yesterday.
Yeah.
When he left the pitch and a sort of... almost as if he was saying, I just don't know. I don't know where, how we've gone from this to this. And it's not a case of, you know, there's being one area of the pitch that's the problem. It's the fact it's every area of the pitch now.
Mm.
Goalkeeper right the way through to forwards. Has he lost the plot? He's in an unfortunate position, really, because he's got a lot of new players in who he needs to bed in immediately to get him over this slump. But you could say that probably if some of them were on the pitch, it would be a start.
Yeah, Carl, I know it's a divisive thing to throw out at you straight away, but like, I mean, people are kind of wondering, aren't they? Like, it's hard to be too hard on a man because, as you say, it's across the board. The problems are.
It's everything.
You do have to have a little bit of sympathy for him. But basically, where do you think are the massive things that are his own fault?
Steven Gerrard,
yeah,
I think is the principal one. He's got to be brave enough to say, Steven, you're not doing what I want you to do on that pitch.
Mm.
And time and again, Steven Gerrard gets 90 minutes. That's the first thing he's got to look at. Because people blame the defence, and they're right, because I'm sure we're going to get onto goals and things, and the second one was comic.
Yeah.
But a lot of the goals we've conceded this season is basically because midfield runs straight through the pitch at the centre-backs. And they do it repeatedly, and there's no screen. Steven Gerrard can't play that role. He was deeper than Skirtle for part of yesterday. And I don't know if there's a power struggle between him and between Steven and Brendan, but he's got to stand up and he's got to fight that. Or if it's not a battle, he needs to see this is where it's going wrong principally. And it's a horrible thing to say about Steven Gerrard because, you know, if any man deserves anything in this club, it's that man.
Mm.
But you can't be affectionate about this.
No, it's unavoidable.
It's struggling.
Yeah, yeah. We will go on and talk about Jared later on. Floody, talk to me a little bit more about Brendan and the situation he finds himself in. I know different people at different levels of sympathy. Where do you find yourself on the sympathy scale?
I like Brendan. What really, really, he's getting me nerves for the simple fact
He's still fucking starting Johnson. He's still starting Skirtle. Mm. You just spoke there about Gerrard. That's not functioning at all. Now, I kind of probably disagree in that he's not doing what he's asked to do. He probably is doing what he's asked to do, which is getting the ball and try to get it started early. But he's not able to fulfil that defensive role.
Yeah.
But Brendan is heaping all the pressure on himself.
Mm.
Like, you'd actually say, okay, give him a little bit of time. Let's not worry too much about it. He's trying something different here. But he's not trying anything different. He's the same shitheads, the same ones that's letting him down week in, week out. But let's call a spade, lads. Like, it's fucking, this isn't just November that this happened. Like, this is 2 years.
It's ongoing, yeah.
And if he can't see that, fuck me, Brendan. Like, you're only putting pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on him. Yeah. I'd love to see him succeed, like, because he's done so much last year. And kind of, after you get beaten in a game like yesterday, everyone loses the head.
Mm.
And I did it as well. Like, there's no two ways about it. But before the game, I knew we were beaten. You just look at the starting 11 and you say, Jesus Christ, we've got problems here. Like, if that's our starting 11 and we spent 100 million in the summer, Jesus Christ. So I've got to say, if you go out and buy all these players, you've got to play them.
Yeah.
If you're spending that type of money on them. And if you're not, then you're only putting pressure on yourself.
Neil, what do you think about that starting 11? Would you agree with Demo when you saw it? You just thought, yeah, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, I agree with him. We look like the perception was that we were kind of second best before we even started. I mean, I wasn't confident at all. I suppose the most objective way to look at it would be, I suppose, facts and figures, isn't it? He's in year 3 of a 5-year plan, unless I'm right in saying that. Yeah, and I was just looking earlier, he spent 214 million so far. Regardless of how much he got in, that's irrelevant. So his players have cost 214 million. And we've regressed massively since last year. I think it was just spoken about earlier, we're almost relegation fodder. Everybody is looking forward to playing us at the minute. There's no desire, leadership. Nobody seems to be, the team isn't functioning the way it should be. It's rudderless, I think is the term.
Yeah.
And I suppose that if there's no leadership and it's rudderless, I mean, that falls at Rodgers' door and then his general on the pitch, Stephen Gerrard.
Well, yeah, and that ties us back into leadership again. We're going to talk about leadership later on, Andy, and Jamie Carragher shouts on that topic. But just let me finish with yourself and Phil, just get a couple of thoughts from everyone in the room on Rodgers' situation. Where do you stand on him at the minute? Are you kind of joining this chorus that's saying maybe he could be about done?
Well, like Damo, I do like Rodgers. It's a bonus to have a manager that recognises all the traditions of the club and you know, he harps on about it enough. But it's nice to know that it's not a manager that's not going to mix things up and upset people around the club. Like, you know, it's a great thing, you know, the history and all that. But unfortunately, he nearly plays the job up as if it's too big for him and he's in awe of it and he doesn't seem like the leader of the club. Like, you know, he doesn't seem like he's in complete control like a manager should be. So that's part of the problem, and that's where he runs into things like with dropping Gerrard. Like, you know, it makes it very awkward for him. Like, I'd like to see Rodgers succeed, but what's happening now, like, it's very, very serious, and it's, if it continues, like, if they go out with Champions League this week and then in January they're still sitting where they are, then the search for a manager starts. But until all that kind of stuff happens, he's just about safe.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but it's close.
His days are, at the moment, they look like they could be onward.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't continue, and he has had money to spend. He has had quite a bit of time, you know, but there's certain things that aren't even showing signs of improvement whatsoever.
Phil, I'm going to wind you up a little bit here. We've got a manager.
It's very hard to wind me up any more than I am at the moment.
We'll try. Andy's talking about the situation that Brendan finds himself in. He talks about, you know, what a manager should be and what a manager should do. And I'm looking at it, and from minute one, it's been clear to me that Brendan wants to be very much the main guy who's calling the shots, and he's actually made a massive point of it with the whole director of football thing at the start. Then you look on the field, and you've got one massive issue, which is you've lost two guys who are incredibly quick and incredibly skillful and good at scoring goals. You don't have them. Therefore, you don't have the space they create. You don't have the space for Sterling and Coutinho to run into, so they're less effective. You need to change the plan quite considerably. That hasn't happened. There are a number of levels there where Brendan Rodgers is massively, massively, massively underperforming. Is that not fair?
Yeah. Look, you know, he has gone and changed his plan. He changed the shape because he doesn't have Sturridge and Suarez. He's literally thrown the baby out with the bathwater in terms of not looking to play his diamond formation with looking at an alternative in his own squad at this moment in time. As Demo and we've all alluded to many times, he spent an awful lot of money in the summer to give ourselves, say, more options and squad depth, and that's failed miserably in terms of the way he's used the players so far. If he was sacked tomorrow, I wouldn't shed a tear. And in fact, you know, I can make a stronger argument for sacking him than to keep him at this moment in time. And I judge him on the same grounds that I judge Kenny Dalglish on when he was in for his second term. When during the last season of Rafa, when it looked like we were heading down a path of destruction, and the same when Houllier was at the club and it was coming to the end and he was turning so many corners, he was stuck in a roundabout and going round and round in circles. And I'm looking at Brendan and I just don't see anything. As Carl alluded to, I didn't see anything on the bench. There was no change of shape. It took him so long to make any substitutions. When he did make the substitutions, he seemed to take off our better performing players.
Joe Allen
you know,
particularly, yeah.
There was, bizarrely, from that game, there was a couple of good performances, despite the fucking boring show that went on. And when you see a manager so lost at sea and so far removed from the confident person that he was last season, with seemingly no answers, bar doing the exact same thing over and over again, then for me, the time was up. Now, do you change in mid-season? I don't think you do, and I don't think the club will. So I don't think that comes into the reckoning at this stage. However, if we find ourselves anywhere near the relegation zone at Christmas time, just as John Henry pulled the plug finally on Roy Hodgson when they took over, it would not surprise me if they started worrying about what was going to happen for the second half of the season.
What do you think about this credit built up argument? Have you any time for that?
I do. Yeah. And to be honest with you, that's why I don't think he'll go before the end of the season, and he will have until the end of the season to sort it out. And if ever there was a chance for him now to say, fuck it, I need to now build a Brendan Rodgers team, and I mean a pure Brendan Rodgers team, then now is the moment. The moment was 3 or 4 games ago.
It was, wasn't it, right? To be fair? Yeah, it's gone.
The moment, he had that moment when we played against Madrid and he made the changes, and then he reverted back to the same shite again in the next game.
Yeah.
But I think the Saturday was a significant turning point, actually, because they come through a difficult spell where playing Madrid and Chelsea, their expected losses before that, they lost to Newcastle. So, like, the pressure's on, but you've two big games, you know, where, like, most of them, more than likely, you're going to lose. But then all of a sudden, 2 week break, Crystal Palace, he took a lot of time to think about and get the team prepared. I know some of them are off on international duty, but there was a good core there still about, and he could have used more of them players. But I mean, it was the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think Saturday was quite a turning point, and I try to be balanced, like, and I don't like to jump on the fellas back real early in the season, 10 games in. This isn't a start anymore. Like, this is the middle of the season now.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can't say, oh, well, it's a slow start or hangover from it. It's just unacceptable at this stage. And I actually feel like he could walk, you know, because it doesn't look like he's changed and it doesn't look like he's the answers himself. So he must be questioning himself when he goes home at night, going, what am I going to do? This club is massive. What am I going to do? And then come January, like I said earlier, and we're out of the Champions League and we're still 4 or 5 points just above a relegation zone or down around there.
Look,
he might walk.
I'll just say, as I said, right, if he was to go tomorrow, I wouldn't shed a tear, because I've gotten past the point of shedding a tears over players leaving and managers leaving. It's part of the football dance. It happens in every single club in the world. Fortunes can change massively, and all of a sudden the person who was God 1 minute is the devil the next minute, right? That's just football. But, you know, you support the club, and you're supporting the club, not a player who plays for them, not a manager who's there at that moment in time. And what you need is, you need those players and those managers to perform. Now, my biggest fear at Rodgers is when I read the reports from, well, there was a for and against argument about his time at Reading between two fans. I tweeted the link as well earlier today. And it's bizarre because the against argument states, when things went wrong from Reading, instead of him embracing change and trying to change things around, he became entrenched in his ways, refused to change anything, refused to change the team, and started making mad pronunciations in his post-match press conferences. And I would hate to see, and look, to be honest with you, I don't want to see him get, I want to see him succeed. Everyone of us wants to see Liverpool succeed. We don't want to see him fail. But if he fails, and continually fails, then he's not the right person for the job.
Yeah. And so it's a matter of when you make that call. Yeah.
I think we've all fell in love with the idea of him managing the club. He's young and he brings in fresh ideas and he wants to play attacking football. And in our own minds, like, you probably pictured him maybe managing the club up next 10, 15 years. And it is quite disappointing that you find yourself asking, you know, is he the right man for the job again? Because it's going to be back to square one again. Like, there's going to be lots of players sold. There's going to be, you know, lots of more questions about a new manager, and fuck knows who they end up bringing in.
Carl, a man who's been doing an awful lot of talking about the club from his position up in the Sky Towers is Jamie Carragher. He was very, very vocal about lack of leadership, and obviously, you know, you can connect this back into the manager and the manager's choice of players and so on and so forth. One that jumps out at me is Dejan Lovren, because that word came up a lot with him. But it was a little bit unfortunate, wasn't it, to hear, I don't know if you did or not, but to hear Cara focus more on the kids rather than on the established older heads who are far more guilty of a lack of leadership. Would you agree with that?
Who's Jamie Carragher's best mate at Liverpool?
Yeah, well,
no one's doing it. No one's pointing a finger.
Yeah.
And the problem is, of course, we as fans, if we do that, it's heresy. You can't criticise the great Steve, and you can't do it, but he's not doing it. He's just not doing it. And I appreciate, from his perspective, it must be difficult for him to go to Lovren and say, "You, I want more from you," when Stephen's absolutely stinking the ground out.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do that, but there are no leaders. This brings me back to, Lovren's really interesting, because I went to the first game of the season, Southampton, and I was quite low down in the main stand, so I was looking right into the cop area, I had one of those seats, you know, where you're basically, you're in the main stand, but you're facing into the cop.
Yeah.
It was that bad a view. And literally, every time that Mignolet failed to go out for the ball, Lovren was screaming in his face, "You've got to come for that. You come when I tell you to come." And he was doing it all the way through the field. And I thought, we've got a leader. That's great. I want someone. We haven't had that since Carragher. So come on, start screaming at people. Say, "You go there. You go there. I'm in charge of this. This is a leader. You push out when I tell you to." I thought, this is great. We've got this in Lovren. And Lovren's as quiet as a mouse.
Yeah, what's happened that there? Why does someone's character change? As you say, that's the first game of the season. It's like he doesn't know any better. And, you know, has it been beaten out of him or what?
Is he being instructed?
Yeah.
He might be, you know, told that, you know, it's the goalkeeper that makes those decisions because he's facing into the pitch rather than, you know, getting turned.
Yeah.
It could be that. It could just be because Lovren is also stinking the ground out. So he feels like he doesn't really want to sort of start giving orders out when everyone else on the pitch can say, "Well, hang on, mate, it'd be nice if you joined in."
Yeah. You know,
so and that's the, any football inside, any failing football inside is one where no one's going to put the hand up and say, "Hang on, should we do this?" And no one is doing that in Liverpool at the moment. And we've got a lot of kids in that squad and in that team yesterday. But Johnson, Gerrard, Lovren, the keeper should be doing more. Skirtle, you know, he looks scary, so he should be doing some more of that. And Carragher's right. There's nothing that I would... But for Jamie Carragher to criticise the kids, he was a kid once, you know. I remember a game when we played Stoke. It was Rafa's bad season. It was after we played Tottenham and Skirtle and Carragher both did the Reds in, where they collided. Daniel Ayala's now at Middlesbrough, played against Stoke that day. And every single time he got the ball and rolled it to the side or found a fullback or something like that, or pushed it into midfield, Jamie Carragher clapped his hands and walked up and patted him on the back every single time. That's their job. Now, the equivalent of that is him criticising Daniel Ayala and saying, like, you know, why aren't you beating three men and putting it, you know, right on the penalty spot for Lambert?
Yeah.
You can't blame kids for that.
Yeah.
They're senior players for a reason.
Yeah, one of those players who doesn't get labelled senior player as much as he should, Floody, is Mignolet. And he's had another shocker there yesterday, hasn't he, in fairness to him?
He's absolutely horrific, isn't he, at the minute? He is, though. Like, yeah.
Has been since his arrival, really.
He was always always a decent shot stopper. Let's be fair to him.
Every
was always
goalkeeper
a decent,
should be, though, shouldn't he? Yeah.
No, I feel the brutal.
we say goalkeeper.
That was great at crosses and kicking them.
the ball being kicked out from the free kick. Holy fucking Jesus! Like, if a kid done that, like, you go bananas at him.
Yeah,
I don't know. The fella is just devoid and shattered of all confidence. And yeah. I think Phil would agree, once your confidence is gone as a keeper, you're fucked.
It's very, it's very hard to get it back.
You need to go. You either need to sit on the bench for 6 months or you need to find another club.
Yeah.
Because I think once it's gone, you need to go find yourself again. I think the lad that was here a couple of weeks ago was pretty much saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So once you're broken down to that level, there's no return. And like,
yeah. You need to step out of it. Yeah.
You need to step out of it. And the back four is not helping him. Stephen Gerrard's not helping. Like, he's got absolutely no protection. Mm. So everything's focused on. Yeah. Every little mistake he makes. Well, you'll get other keepers. They might make a mistake, but their centre-half will bail them out, or their defensive midfielder will bail them out. Like, at the moment, like, if he makes a save, even nobody's following up then on the second ball. Like, the save he makes against Chelsea from the header is a worldly save. It's a great save.
Yeah.
And he keeps it out, but nobody follows up
then.
There's no one there. So he's on a kind of lose-lose thing, but he just looks completely and utterly shattered as a person. You know, as a keeper, I think he just needs to kind of whether be taken out of the team and put Jones in. Like, Jones, he fell asleep on the bench yesterday. Like, he's looking
to wake him up.
He's looking at the games and thinking,
did he really? Lads are saying that. Yeah.
He's looking at this. He's like, I'm training all week. Put a goalkeeper in with no hands, and you're still not going to get a game ahead of him the way it is. Like, no goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Brendan has got to start trusting his squad. Like, he's talked about this squad that he has and the squad he wants to use.
Mm.
Like, if you're going to have a squad, use your squad, Brendan. Like, you know, and put the other
lad in. Use your squad, Brendan. Yeah, use your squad. Pull him in.
Just do it.
Neil, it's a perfect storm, isn't it, fully describing there, confidence-wise. You've got a keeper there who's struggling. The two guys ahead of him are clearly struggling. And you know, they've been pretty much consistently the most regular appearance makers. And the two full-backs either side, who we'd really love to see more of, we don't get to see them together, the two kids. So it is really, it's a proper clusterfuck, isn't it?
Yeah, between the five of them at the back, I suppose, the five of them that played yesterday, I suppose, Barham and Keogh, it's a mess, isn't it? I mean, I know we'll get into the goals later on, but like, they're so positionally unaware, it's unreal. And I said, like, these guys are professional footballers. I mean, you learn, if you're a centre-half, you learn how to position yourself when you're 14 and 15, but they're not even doing that. Now, I think part of Lovren's problem is Johnson is so bad. He's trying to cover for him, and that's taken away from him trying to do his own job. I'm just probably looking for clutching at straws here, but for two of the goals yesterday, Lovren was as concerned about Johnson's position as he was at a Crystal Palace player's position. And I suppose if Johnson is that, and then behind him he has a goalkeeper who is completely ineffective.
Mm.
So,
well, look, I was going to look at Lovren, Skirtle and Johnson as a kind of an
axis of shitness.
An axis of awfulness. But like, let's talk about the goals, because the guys are central to those goals. Does anyone want to talk me through the first one? Because I know
Stephen Gerrard.
No, well, do you know what, right? If you go back to last year's match against Crystal Palace, the goals came when they attacked down Johnson's flank and went at him and Skirtle and got joy out of the two of them, mm-hmm. right? And this year, they were like, Bolasie was having a right humdinger with Mankeo down the right hand side of the park. And to be honest with you, Bolasie, for all his running and step overs and tricks and all that he was doing, he wasn't getting any real joy. He wasn't getting shots away on Mignolet. He wasn't telling passes into the box that Mignolet then had to pull off.
Actually, it was interesting. The Sky coverage at halftime were trying to show that that Mankeo was getting skinned, and each time they showed it,
yeah.
Mankeo was goal side.
Yeah.
So it was bullshit coverage.
He couldn't get past him. Yeah. He was able to stand up and look effective, but every time Mankeo stood up, you know, he'd get a block in, he'd win a ball or something like that. The goal then comes from Bolasie coming off that flank and going and attacking the Lovren, Skirtle and Johnson. And the shot comes because Lovren lets him go, thinking that Johnson is coming in, and then Johnson does as usual. What's going on in the football? Is it a football match?
Yeah. I think
football
before match, that guys. Even, Phil, I mean, the Palace lad, we had three midfielders around him and it's just a simple little layoff into Bolasie. No one put a challenge in. We didn't even get tight, or we didn't even get touch tight.
But what happens there is Bolasie lays it out and makes the run, and Stephen Gerrard ball watches, as he always does, and he watches the ball, and Bolasie makes that run into where Gerrard should be picking that up, you know, and he doesn't pick it up, and he gets into that little hole between both. You know, and that was my issue with Gerrard's defensive midfielder in there. He offers no cover up protection.
Let's not forget Alan was off the pitch at the time.
We still had three in there.
Yeah, but there was four. Like, the Alan, the was, area no, he ran was, into no, was where was, Alan still, had been occupying for the whole
four,
game.
There was still four. There was three and Gerrard.
That he had a huge amount of space that once he broke past Gerrard, he had a huge amount of space.
The way it is for me,
once the player's running at your pace, like, it's gonna be a problem.
If I'm a midfielder and Bolasie makes that run and I'm tracking Bolasie and he's running towards Gerrard, I'm not chasing him, I'm passing him onto Gerrard and I'm staying holding my shape. You know, so I think even Alan's there, he's going to try pass him on to
Gerrard. Gerrard was behind the play there. He was in midfield when the initial pass was put through to Bolasie. He was
Bolasie runs in behind them.
Yeah, but he was just beside when the guy, the Crystal Palace lad who paid the initial layoff into Bolasie, Gerrard was beside him.
Gerrard gets attracted to the ball like a defensive midfielder shouldn't. Like he's not reading the game. He's not waiting to see what's developing. He just goes for the ball. They all should be more aware that Alan was off the pitch, and it should have been organised that somebody else was filling in for him, a Sterling drop back or whatever.
But my point is that when he does break and he goes across, Skirtle shadows him across to Lovren. Lovren doesn't step in to stop the run across, he steps back actually. Johnson, he's expecting Johnson to come in because Johnson is looking at Bolasie coming that from that direction, and he just does nothing. He freezes. He freezes for a fraction of a second, and then that's it. Then he starts to approach slowly.
Yeah,
and then Bolasie gets the shot away, and whatever about him getting the shot away, he hits the post, and Skirtle is completely turned off to your man Gale behind him, right? And all of a sudden, as the ball comes off the post, you can see Skirtle look around, and he's like, "Oh, where's your man come from?" And all he has to do is start it into the back of the net.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're looking at it, it's just the lack of awareness from those three players is frightening.
Senior players as well.
Talk to me about those senior players on the second goal, then, Carl.
It's one of the most horrible sights you can see when you watch a ball literally be rolled across a box when you've got two centre-backs standing between that ball and the goal and they run at each other, not towards the ball.
Yeah.
How long did he have? He could have stopped and rolled the fag up while he was waiting for that ball to come to him.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing going. You can look at Johnson as well on the build-up because Johnson just stops running once the lad gets past him.
It's terrifying, yeah.
And he rolls it and... It may be, you know, as Liverpool fans, you know, we've seen the great players like charge out knees first, right? That's not getting anywhere. The only way this is going to go in is a deflection off me in some way.
Yeah.
And the two of them just stand there and watch that ball roll. And then you can say maybe it wouldn't have made any difference, but God, make it difficult for him, won't you? He could pick his spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just left it. Let's see if the keeper gets it, because the keeper's actually not bad in that situation, normally. You know, a shot from 6 yards, I always trust Mignolet a lot more on a shot from 6 yards than I do him coming for a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's that sort of goalkeeper, he's half a goalkeeper.
Do you know, if Moreno was playing in as a left back there, you know when, was it Bolasie again who flicks the ball over Lovren's head?
Yeah.
Moreno is on a charge to cover in behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the fundamental difference between those two players. You've got one player who'll break his bollocks to get back and try do something. Mm. And you have another fella who goes, well, that's not my job anymore.
Mm.
Anybody, well, Flanagan, Enrique, Moreno, they all would have done something different than Johnson. He's just typical of Johnson. Stand there and do fuck all and just hope somebody else sorts it out. And that other person was Lovren, probably doing his best to cover the space. And then he makes a show of himself,
if you look how he lined up from the throw-in, and you just point the finger straight at Johnson, like... You get your midfielder to come in front of the man Johnson. Yeah. Johnson gets in between then Lovren and he should be. So Bolasie should never get that into him. Like Johnson should be cutting that out. Johnson should be cutting that out. He should be on his toes.
Mm.
So he's blocking the man getting at the chest, and then if it's flicked on, he's there. But he does nothing. Yeah. He literally offers nothing.
And how long was Bolasie over there? About 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like is that unbelievable? Yeah, yeah. And then you have the cheek to criticize how Manquillo handled.
Yeah.
Because that was Manquillo was brilliant at lots of tackles. Like, he was caught out of position, but he got the last hit challenge.
Do you know what?
He moves over to your side and straight away, bang, go.
It's like Johnson's just untouchable on Sky Sports and the whole. Like, it never gets questions, never gets anything.
It's cowardly. It's cowardly and it's cheating.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's cowardly and it's cheating. It's not making a decision. And it's, if you don't make a decision and you stop, you're a coward on the pitch. We slaughtered Stuart Downing for doing the exact same things when he used to go hiding behind players, and he's hiding on a football pitch, and that's disgusting in my book.
Carl, is that a bit strong, cowardice as an accusation level at Glenn Johnson there?
It's Reeser-esque. John Allen Reeser was great for that when things weren't going as well. He used to hide as well, but Reese used to do this thing where he used to get injured and go down on his haunches and blow for 5 minutes and stand up and show, look how brave I am. just a winger flew past him.
Yeah.
Glenn Johnson is an absolute disgrace of a footballer. He really is. I know he's got his contract thing going on. I don't give a damn. You're playing 90 minutes for Liverpool, lad. Yep. It's as simple as that. And your age, you should be fighting for a contract. Yeah. You shouldn't be stopping and admiring sunsets in the distance while a man goes past you. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
But like tie into what you were talking about earlier on. I mean, there's a manager who keeps pulling him in there.
He's getting picked.
Yeah, every time. And when and when he's not right back, he's left back. He's the guy.
And why is he getting picked? You pick players like that because you think, okay, he's not having the best of form, but he's an experienced head on the pitch, and he might be able to bring some player a bit more out of Moreno, a bit more out of Manquillo.
Yeah.
And he might as well just go take a catalogue outside then and start picking on the days.
But you wonder, like, we've
nothing kind of, on that pitch at all.
We've kind of touched on it that we feel that Gerrard might be ruling the dressing room. You know, we might have a little bit over Rodgers there. Yeah. He only goes and names Johnson as his fucking best right back that he's ever played with. Like, the one that is Gerrard, like, kind of, I don't know, like, you don't want to be kind of saying, everyone has the feeling that Rodgers isn't the big man in the dressing room, you know? Yeah. And the fact that Johnson's playing week in, week out, and only during the week Gerrard comes out best right back he's ever played with.
I still don't know how you could name him as
how
the
is
best.
That even possible?
When you've played with Arbeloa, you've played with Finnan, you've played with Marcus Babbel, you've played with Gary Neville as well. Yeah, you've played with Carragher
as a right back.
As a right back.
You've played with Flanagan. Stephen Wright is better than him. Just keep your water kid was there.
And Kroenkamp.
Yeah. Gregory Vignal.
We're going into the Adams here.
Yeah.
Every right back ever
is better than.
But like, isn't it just mad that every single fan, well, apart from one or two on other podcasts, is slating Johnson and can't understand why he's in the team? Like, what's wrong? Is it us that has the problem?
I think it's you, Andy.
What the fuck is going on?
It does reflect on what you were saying, what was going on at Reading towards the end of his tenure there, that he just couldn't see the wood for the trees. He just kept repeating mistakes over and over again. Now, I don't know how prophetic that is, but still, at the same time, it's a little bit similar to what was going on, like you said to me.
I didn't quite get behind that when I heard it first from Phil, but I can kind of see what you're saying there, because I was thinking about the January when he was there for the first year and he turned things around with the two signings, but you're talking about a situation where he can't really get anyone else in. He has to make do with the squad that he's got, and it's the same mistakes every single week.
Well,
players,
yeah, and like, the frustrating thing is, again, we go back to when he did say, right, you know what, change it up for the Real Madrid game. He felt he couldn't, you know, it was on a no lose there, that it was a free game, right?
Yeah.
And you saw the level of effort, and I'm just saying, at a very basic level, the level of effort and application that those players put when they're on the pitch that night, and then that's all you want. If you put that same level of effort and application up against a very limited Crystal Palace team, you don't get beaten there.
Do you know what's awful about that now in retrospect? Was we thought maybe it was a chance to see, you know, was it a little show of defiance here? I'm going to sort this out with lesser lights. And then he just bungs in the old names again. And then we have two weeks break and everyone gets all head up about a chance for something new. The old names come back again. And like, you know, there is no getting around that. And the man deserves every bit of criticism he's getting for that. Like, and I'm not one of these Rodgers out people at all, but he does deserve
it. I heard you have organised a plane.
I've been doing up the banner all afternoon.
You were trying to start marches and everything. You're like the secret man behind that.
I did say on the pod 2 weeks ago, I think I'm the only person who said it so far, that he might be the first to go before any players go. And that wasn't because I want him to, but I think it might happen.
I can just come back to
this. Yeah, please do, Carl.
I was saying about the second goal.
Yeah.
Because you just reminded me talking about Madrid there. Kolo Touré on that second goal, the way he defended in Madrid.
Yep.
The first thing he does there is cut the ball. The first thing he does.
Yep.
He doesn't run it as another centre-back thinking, oh, Christ, we could concede here.
Yeah, I know.
Straight away, his instinct is to attack the ball. I mean, I can't say he'd do that in the Palace game, but that's what he was doing in Madrid.
Yeah.
He was just shut constantly.
Carl, and sort of going back to it, you know, there's an element that says, you know, we're talking about leadership. We're talking about a lack of leadership on the pitch. The one thing that Kolo Touré brings to that team is leadership. You know, he's an old head on old shoulders.
Old
shoulders.
Old knees.
And hips.
And hips.
But like, if you've a defence performing well and you've, you know, a couple of lads in there that are a good partnership and they're playing well, you never consider Touré. But at the moment, like, he's way better. Way better. Like, you know. Yeah.
I think that definitely within the squad, we've all been there. We've all been at that stage. We've sat in the dressing room and there's a fucker getting picked every week. and everyone's going to whisper into his ear saying,
I'm going to deal him in training. And that's what I say.
We've already been that player, or we've seen that player in the dressing room. Like,
but there's not too many players
that's like, sitting in, dressing
in that dressing room saying he's shit. Like, they're, at the moment, we are probably the worst team in the league.
You know, Jesus, man.
As a team, individually,
as a team, he's not fair.
Individually, they could put easily just turn it around and put 6 or 7 wins on the trot league Newcastle, and all of a sudden, we make fools of ourselves talking the way we're talking. But at the moment, we're the worst team in the league.
Yeah, well,
as a team, the worst team. Not individually, but as a team, it's so disjointed. There's nothing good to be said about them, apart from maybe Chan and.
Moreno,
that's probably about it. But let's fucking face it. We're just
two of them on the bench yesterday. Two of them on the bench yesterday.
Isn't it just baffling?
Well, look, let's push it up the pitch and look at grim areas elsewhere. Because Neil, one of the highlights for me anyway on the day was Joe Allen, and one of the low lights on the day was Joe Allen getting taken off while Stevie hobbled about.
The highlight for me was the bandage.
Oh, that was fucking magnificent.
He looked like one of the pockpocks on CBeebies.
Just magnificent stuff. But to be fair to the kid, he was actually quite good yesterday, and he tidy and neat. And I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but you'd like to think that things might have been slightly different if he had stayed in the pitch. I don't know why he was taken off. Could you make any sense of that call?
I couldn't make head nor tail of it, but I suppose he was our best performer. Not to say he had a particularly good game, he was the best performer out of players that were on that started yesterday anyway. Well, the reason why he was taken off, I can't fathom it at all. It goes beyond comprehension, I think.
I think they said that the wound opened up again.
Ah.
And he was,
but he had a big black bandage on. He was grand.
Well, he was.
The colour of the bandage wasn't looking good.
Just so you can't see it.
His jersey was pretty heavily bloodied again for the third time on his way. So maybe there's a lot to that.
Oh, why did you ask me? Yeah. Did you take him off, Trev?
What?
Why did you ask me?
Clearly, I was setting you up.
Gotcha.
It doesn't say here in my notes anywhere.
You're a last in.
You just know Terry Butcher. Sitting at home going, you fucking wimp.
Well, talk to me about two guys who did do quite a bit of time on the pitch, and that's Sterling and Coutinho, who, you know, for a variety of reasons weren't their usual selves. What did you make of their impact or lack of it, and what would you trace it to?
Well, there's a dip in form between the two of them, which is just spread across the team anyway. So you can't really pick that out. But I mean that the progression of the ball from the two centre halves and Steven Gerrard into the midfield and through into attacking midfielders is shocking. I mean they're very ponderous at the back. There's this sideways passing it back. We're too easy to start defending against high up the pitch. And if they're not getting quick ball when they make their movements, because I suppose guys who have an attacking instinct like that have a look over their shoulder before they receive the ball, and then they know where everybody else is in front of them. But if the ball is coming, is ponderous and it's coming slow into them, I mean, again, they get turned or somebody tied against them.
Yeah.
So it's not, I wouldn't particularly say it's their fault that they are underperforming. I suppose we were looking at the stats earlier.
Yeah. And any stats you'd like to throw my way there now?
No.
Okay.
but what I would say is
revenge.
Coutinho's ball retention is excellent, but his chances created as compared to the last 10 games of last season is dropped dramatically. I don't know whether that's probably not his fault, because the movement in front of him is pathetic.
That's a lot to do with it, surely.
So I suppose you can say, how was their form and how did they play yesterday? They weren't particularly impressive. Their form has dropped, but I think that's a consequence of what's in front of them rather than their own form.
Is that fair, Floody? It's a function of a team underperforming all around them and a lack of pace in front of them.
Without doubt, because you can see most teams now are kind of, they play us 20 yards kind of deeper. Last year we could sit and soak pressure and counter so quick because we had Sturridge, we had Coutinho, Sterling, Suarez. Now we've got no pace up front, you know. And as Neil just said, the movement of the ball is so ponderous from the back and from air midfield to them. By the time it's got to them, all the channels and avenues are closed off. And then if they do get a kind of a chink of light, they've centre forwards that fucking do nothing for them. Like, they want the defeat. There's nobody looking to get in behind or get in the channel. And they want to look for that ball. And they, at the end of the day, they're only two kids as well. They're two kids in terms of the overall team and the age of the team. We shouldn't be expecting the weight of everything that we can do to be falling at their feet at the moment.
And yet we are.
Yeah, and yet we are. And I think it's very unfair in the team. I thought Coutinho was excellent yesterday. I know he didn't create a whole, but he always looked busy and he always looked good at retaining the ball.
Yeah.
But like, we created fuck all yesterday.
The goal that we did score, that landed right on Lambert's toe. Unless that ball landed right there, he wasn't going to score. I mean, if he had to make a two or three feet of a run, he wasn't going to get it. You have to put it right on his toe, or it's not going
to
happen.
But wouldn't that be fair to say that, in fairness, it's a beautifully taken goal?
He took his goal very well.
It's good touch.
The ball has to be
great
that precise every single time. He's only going to score three goals this season.
Yeah. I was building up to that being our happy moment. For fuck's sake, Neil. Actually, can we just ignore what Neil said there, Carol? I'm going to come to you.
Edit.
Carol, I'm probably going to have to come back to Floody about Lambert anyway. Because I just want to talk to you about Lambert and the goal. Like our little oasis of enjoyment was in the first minute. Or a minute and a half, or whatever it was.
You killed the game off.
Yeah, we really did, yeah. Look, credit where it's due. It was a beautifully taken goal, at least.
It's a goal I didn't think he could score.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think Ricky Lambert is just sort of, you know, he's going to just basically run into centre-backs all day and pick on scraps. Mm. It was a lovely ball from Lallana, obviously. It was nice to see that connection working. And, I don't think he did a great deal after that, to be honest. But then again, he was wearing Liverpool shirts, so... There wasn't a great deal going on other than that, but that was really nice to see, because I do like to see scorers score goals that you don't think they can score.
Mm.
Suarez and headers, for example.
I
think you always picture, when you think of a goal scorer, you think of a typical Luis Suarez goal or a typical Ricky Lambert goal, and I didn't think that was a particularly Ricky Lambert goal yesterday, so that was really nice to see.
Yeah, as you say then, the sad thing is it kind of falls off the face of the earth after that in terms of the form of both of them.
As we've just been saying, we didn't nothing went to him really, do we? He's not exactly the most mobile of strikers, is he? So,
what did you make of again? I don't know if you heard this, but he was handing out a lot of pelters, but he did actually go waxing lyrical about Ricky Lambert. Was Mr. Carragher again talking about how he's a lovely, lovely footballer, etc., etc.? I've got a fella crossing my ear now; he's dying. what do you make of him and his contribution so far?
I've seen him a few times at Anfield, and he's trying really hard, which is nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
So in some ways, I'll settle just for that these days.
Yeah.
But it's not going for him, I think. I think he's an odd signing, being a man that, you know, Lallana was the marquee signing, really.
Mm.
And you think, I know they played together at Southampton, but you think ordinarily, if you're going to buy Ricky Lambert, you're going to buy wingers who are going to get, you know, chalk on the boots, take it down the side and knock it in so he can head it. You know, that's sort of the what was supposed to be the Stuart Downe and Andy Carroll deal.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a man who's going to turn a centre-back and get him behind him much.
Mm.
Although he did it yesterday. I don't think that's his normal game. So I'm all for us having strikers who do different things. But I can't quite see the logic of Ricky Lambert at the moment.
Yeah, just Ricky Lambert's things are a little bit limited, aren't they? And you want to have...
We're not playing to his strengths.
Yeah.
Well, we're not playing to any strengths.
Yeah, we're not playing to any strengths. Last word on Ricky Lambert to Damien Flood.
I haven't got anything good to say. My mammy always told me not to say anything.
Review over.
I'll say something nice about him.
Go on, do.
Well, when he scored the goal, I kind of said... That's interesting. there's a Liverpool striker running off the shoulder of a defender.
Good point.
You know, looking to make a run.
Yeah.
And then he went for the rest of the game, did pretty much what Balotelli's been doing, and just chasing back through the middle, chasing back. And these aren't players that are going to pick up the ball and then run at the opposition with pace and scare the living daylights out of them. So if he had kept doing what he was doing and looking for balls, you know, cute balls in from Coutinho or Lallana, maybe it could have been different.
Oh, it says it all, that's a nice thing that you're saying.
But is he being asked, is the striker, the lone striker, well, not really so much a lone striker yesterday, but are he being asked to do this and not work off the defender's shoulder?
Can I just say something?
Please do.
Right, he missed two really good chances yesterday.
He did.
And if that was Balotelli,
he'd be getting slaughtered for missing two chances, even if he scored a goal.
Oh, are we not slaughtered?
Sorry. No, no, but like, you know, he rightfully gets the praise for a very good finish. Mm. But after that, he's as ineffective as Balotelli has been in any game that he's played. He's probably been less effective, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that he scored a goal and he's a big Liverpool fan, and he probably hasn't had as many opportunities as Balotelli has in the team, but whenever he's played, he hasn't really showed anything to say that he should have more opportunities than Balotelli in the team. And in fact, we tend to have more missed chances from Balotelli. No, that's not a great thing.
Yeah.
But we seem to have more chances when he's in the side. Yeah. He has two chances, and then I can't remember another chance after that we have. And that's a shocking indictment. Mankeo has a great one, but you know, he's a fullback coming on. If that's Sterling or Coutinho, you'd expect him to hit the target as it went out for a throw.
Fucking shocker. Like,
and it was a shocker. And you know, it's probably a pivotal moment because it's won all of that stage. He scores and we probably get out of jail and get a win there, and things are completely different today. But again, we're looking at a centre forward who's just as ineffective as all the other centre forwards. When Borini comes on, Borini seems to have less of an understanding with Lambert than he does when Balotelli is on the pitch. Now, Balotelli's injured, so I'm not saying that he, you know, why didn't he start over Lambert, blah, 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 blah. You have to play with what you have, but sometimes it requires a creative fix. It's maybe you don't play with any strikers. Maybe you deal with Andy's being espousing for ages. You play with Lallana, Sterling and Coutinho as your front three, and you know, ask Sterling maybe to play as a false nine or somebody to play as a false nine, and just use their pace, use their intricate skills to get in around the box and create something.
My point about that the whole time, now obviously Sterling's not anything like Suarez and Coutinho the same, or Lallana, but it's just a bit more familiar than the Liverpool of last year. They're busy, you know, they'll cause havoc, they'll move a lot, and just it just makes more sense to me at the moment to try that out, because when you have strikers that don't score goals, what's the fucking point in playing them? Spain had it a few years ago and they played the likes of Fabregas up top because they're clever players and skillful players, and they'll get chances, and Sterling's no problem putting the ball in.
It's a good shout that, Damon.
Just the one thing that I'd say, and I purely lay this at Rodgers' feet, if you've got a system, you've got a style, you get the players to suit your system and style.
Mm.
He seemed to have gone away from that in the summer, and he bought players that didn't fit into really what he does or what we did last season. Now, whether he wanted to change it this year, I don't know, but we've moved away from having pace, movement, running in behind teams, to buying two centre forwards that won't do that, will never do that, and never have done it.
Mm.
So you can't understand Brendan's thinking. And I remember arguing with Jules when we bought Lambert, that was the very reason. I know you said he was toward choice, and I said at the time we needed to get another striker very, very like Sturridge, just in case Sturridge got injured.
Yeah.
Remy.
And because, Remy or even, like I said, whatever, the likes of them, they've got the pace and they'll run behind defenders. Mm. But we have to change everything we do now because Sturridge is out. Yeah. Because one player is out, everything that Brendan has based his team around changes.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at the Dortmund game, was that the last preseason game? It was. We were excellent that game. I thought we were. And I remember after the game, I felt a lot better. I said, we might actually, but as soon as Sturridge went out of the team, everything changes, our whole dynamic changes. Yeah. And I lay that at Rodgers or the transfer committee's feet, that you've bought two strikers that aren't fit to fill that player's boots.
Fair.
You know?
Fair. Carl, last word to yourself, and before you finish, anything you want to plug, throw it out there, please.
The saddest thing about yesterday for me, I just thought I'd end on a positive as usual.
Hey.
The saddest thing about it for me is obviously the criticism of Gerrard and everything. I think I said this on Twitter yesterday, it's a slow decline of his legacy as much as anything else. I don't want to think of Steven Gerrard as that man on Sellers Park yesterday.
Yeah,
it's a horrible way to end a career, the way that he's playing at the moment. Or we don't know if he's insisting that he's playing or he's being hung out to dry by the manager or anything like that. I think that was really sad. I don't want to think about that Steven Gerrard. I want to think about, you know, all the great things he's done for us. And someone needs to make a decision.
Yeah, fair enough. And just before you go, anything you want to plug yourself? Any writing lately? Anything?
Given it's Christmas.
Yeah, given it's Christmas, there might be a certain book that might, you know.
Well, apparently there's a book called And What Do You Do, which is currently out on Kindle. And it was very briefly in the top 3,000 books in the UK.
Well, fancy. Excellent
27
work.
27 minutes.
Excellent work. Carl, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for joining us. Really,
send
really
a copy
appreciate
of that book, Carolyn.
you send me £3 and I'll send it to you.
Hey! Thanks, Carl. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Thanks,
cheers. Bye-bye. Yeah. Okay.
Let's preview Ludogorets versus Liverpool in the Champions League, and then we'll take a look forward to Liverpool against Stoke City. Right, the lineups that we've seen after the Bernabeu showed that that team that Brendan put out there was not necessarily a statement of defiance, but rather it was a suspected show of indifference. Ironically, the competition that's the Champions League offers our best chance of sort of saving the season, some sort of little bit of redemption from what seems to be a season that's down on its arse. Qualification still in our hands. How likely, Molly, is that qualification in your estimation at the moment?
You have to say, Trev, on current form, it's pretty much unlikely.
Yeah.
They're going to qualify for this group. Okay, I know we have Ludogorets coming up, and after that we have Basel at home. And as you said, it's still in our hands. But we've shown nothing to suggest that we can go out there and get those two victories that we need to qualify.
Yeah, yeah. If we were to do that, what would it require in your estimation?
Well, it would require an awful lot more than what we're giving at the moment. I think it's going to require a change of tact from Brendan.
Personnel as well, do you think?
Oh, most definitely personnel. Like the lads that have been in, like we saw like Real Madrid, he brought in Torre and Borini and Chan and another few players, give him a run out. And what they got for that in the next game was to be dropped again. Yeah. So that's not good enough. So he needs to look at his team and see that they're not performing to the standards as demanded.
Yeah.
And say, right lads, you had your chance, you had your time, and you're out. And start bringing back in these guys like Torre. Even give Borini a run, by Chen.
Yeah, well, that seems eminently reasonable. Neil Gray, you have many, many notes there.
I'm impressed.
On which we should really draw, including some unfortunate diagrams that.
I hope they're better than the last time you had notes. Do you remember that?
Wait. what? Anyway, talk to me about the likelihood of a Liverpool win. Or are you prepared only to talk about Ludogorets? Should I come back to you later?
No.
Please talk to me about Liverpool.
What are we talking about again? Where am I? Ludogorets.
What needs to happen in terms of Liverpool lineup? What does it need to look like to get the result that we need?
Well, like Molly was saying, like there needs to be a massive change in personnel in the first 11. I suppose the back four needs to change in terms of Moreno. Anyway, he needs to come back in, and Touré needs to come in as well for Skirtle, I would have thought, because just. Or I love them. Listen, it's a toss-up between the two.
He is.
But I suppose Emre Chan has to come in, doesn't he?
Emre Chan has to.
I think Hendo's injured, is he?
I think he might be alright for this game.
Will he be alright?
Probably back.
Delighted. So I'd have him and...
Chan still starts, surely, does he? No?
Yeah, with Hendo in the midfield. I wouldn't play Alan because he's a sore head. kept telling me. I would play Coutts and Sterling, and then up front... Is Balotelli still injured, is he?
No,
it doesn't matter either.
He's at the box.
Lambert and Barini, I suppose, there. That's all we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's as good as you're going to get at the minute.
Lambrini, isn't that a drink?
It is a drink.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make was.
What was the point you were trying to make?
I probably know more than the rest of you, but listen, Ludogorets can't wait to play us this week. They fancy they're going to at least get a draw and probably beat us.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? And if we're honest, do we think we're going to beat Ludogorets on Wednesday? I don't think so.
Is that Andy, fair enough? You're slumping back in your chair there, fella. Is there any hope? Give me some hope, Andy.
It's just a reality, like. When you hear someone else saying it, it just hits home. Like, I mean, they're not a bad side. They're buzzing. They're impressing in the Champions League. We're not. We're going out there, and every single team we play against looks like they want it more than us, and that's anyone in the Premier League. And then in the Champions League, there's probably not another team that wants it more than us.
Yeah.
This Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever fucking day it is.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. I really don't feel good about it. And like, I wish I could add positivity, but like, if I seen some sort of evidence,
but
I don't. And I mean, like, if Rodgers went and done a few things we're all suggesting, then I could probably, like, if you looked at the team and
like,
there's a few players dropped and a few players come in we all want to see, then you might go, hang on a minute, okay. all's not lost, but just at the moment, as Molly says, like, the most likely outcome is we're not going to get 3 points.
Phil, it feels a very, very bizarre situation that I'm relying on either you or Floody to help me out here when it comes to balancing things up again. What's, I mean, look, people are going to be listening to this and going, oh, sweet love of Jesus, you know, open the veins up time. You know, like, can we not see this as an opportunity to relaunch a season?
Okay, I'll put it this way. If he goes and says, fuck it, and starts the team he started in the Bernabeu, right? I think we have a chance of getting the result. Now, I think it'll be a horrible, scrappy affair that we'll just manage to sneak through. And that,
like the first game.
Yeah, and that's probably the only way we're going to do it, because when you're in such a bad run of form, you don't suddenly become the Brazil 70 team all over again.
Yeah.
You scrap out a scaldy 1-0 or 2-1
win.
Draw,
do it.
Well, I don't think it will, because if Basel go and get a result, they can easily top the group by just, you know, losing 1-0, I think it is, in Anfield. So what we need to win this game. This is a must-win game for us now at this stage, and if we want to stay in the Champions League. And make wholesale changes, put your trust in the youth, put Touré back into the side, and say, look, what's... They're two independent statements there.
I'll put a full stop there.
But no, see, that's what you do. And you say, this time, you say, if you perform as well as you did in the Bernabeu and we get the result, you aren't out of that team. You'll start again against Stoke. And do you know what? The rest of you, take the finger out of your arse. You're sitting on the bench and you will be stay there until such time as you give a performance level worthy of wearing the Liverpool shirt again. Because at this moment of time, you're stinking the place out.
Who are the people that are stinking the place out that can't feature, that we don't want to see? Or is it too obvious for words, Fluffy?
Well, you're looking at Johnson. You're looking at Skirtle. You're looking at Gerrard.
Okay.
And the reason that I would say them is these lads go out on the pitch like it's their God-given right that I'm going to play football here. Now, everyone that's played the game knows you win your battles first, you win your war first, and then the football takes over. We go out on the pitch thinking we own this pitch, we're just going to stroke the ball around here. But they don't actually give an honesty of effort. They don't actually kind of sweat bullets for the team or fucking bleed for the team. They're not interested in doing it. You see Johnson, he strolls around, Gerrard strolls around. Do you want to play a nice Hollywood pass? Do you want to play a true ball? They're not interested in doing the dirty work. They don't want to roll up the sleeves and fucking put the hard graft in there. And that's what's missing from the team. So I think if we're playing in 11, and fuck me, these boys are going to be up for it, lads.
They have a chance to qualify.
Even without that, this is their World Cup final. Like, Liverpool in their backyard, like, massive, massive scalp.
Yeah.
And the one thing they'll bring to the pitch would be another decent football side. They will walk their nuts out for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely walk their nuts out. We need an 11 to match that.
And what's that look like for you?
It's difficult to pick out. You would definitely say that it's got to be Manquillo. It's got to be Touré, I think, for his leadership qualities. I'd stick with Lovren because Sacco's out and scared of shit. And you put Moreno back in at left full. You go with Kahn, Allen and Henderson, if he's fit. I'm not sure if he's fit or not. I would put Kahn sitting protecting that back four.
Yep.
I'd play Coutinho, I'd play Lallana, I'd play Sterling, and then I'd play Balotelli. But
that's 12.
Is it again? Is it? take Lallana out and he's shit.
Would you? Is Lallana the one that you drop out of that bundle? And Balotelli would start for you if he can.
He would, because he's a striker.
Yeah.
Well, he's an excuse for a striker.
Yeah.
For me, Lallana comes out there because he's not better than Coutinho. It was my argument in the summer. He's no upgrade than Coutinho.
Okay.
So he comes out.
Would you find yourself kind of in agreement with that, pretty much, Neil?
Just in the demo there, the one salient point they were made was there's no honesty of effort. I mean, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? I mean, that's a lack of professionalism, and these guys are professionals. All they have to do every day is play football, and if there's like that's the most damning indictment I've heard in a while. There's no honesty of effort.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just disgraceful.
Molly, would you agree with that statement that's being echoed there between the two lads? Is it clear to see that, you know, there's a few lads who seem to be shirking? Is that unfair?
No, I don't think that's unfair. If you look at Steven Gerrard going around that pitch, he looks like it's already given up on the season, to me.
Yeah.
He's just kind of stalling up on, this season's a wipeout, maybe next year's our year.
Yeah.
And that looks like his attitude. And there's a couple of players like that in the team already who've already as soon as they get on the pitch, they look like they've already been defeated. And that's not good enough.
And what would you like to see the team look like then? Would you have Balotelli as the focal point? Would you have two up top? What way would you go with the...
I'd go back to the Diamonds. I've been saying it for a long time. Yeah. Why not give a chance up top with Balotelli? You know, Balotelli, he's not one of these guys who can play the low and strike a role. These type of guys like to hold up the ball and bring others into play. And something like Sterling, he could do well playing off Balotelli. But I'd bring some wholesale changes. I really would. I know it's a big game and everything, but none of these guys deserve to wear the red shirt at the moment. And I won't go to even bringing people like Brad Jones in instead of Mignolet. Yeah. No, don't to that degree.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so pretty radical shake-up for you. Neil, talk to me about, and I'm going to come to Andy on this as well, if you would. Lou de Gretz showed in Anfield that they're hardly a pushover. In fact, like, you know, I think Phil was saying earlier on, it was a tight game. And we were
lucky enough to get the result.
We were lucky to get the result that we got. It was a late win and a scrappy one and not a fine performance. Now, a lot of that came down to, actually, interestingly, the honesty of effort from those guys.
And Manquillo in particular winning the penalty in the 92nd minute. When your right back is in the box and buying the penalty from a nothing ball, well, as it was, because it looked like the keeper was going to just watch it go out of play.
He gets up the pitch. What can we say about Ludo Goretz in terms of their strengths?
Well, they're very strong at home is one thing I would say. I mean, they were only beaten 2-1 by Real Madrid at home, which is, as we've seen it, how we performed at Madrid at home, that was quite an impressive scoreline anyway. They beat Bale at home 1-0. And we were done over there in Bale's, and Bale aren't that particularly impressive. I know that, but they still got the result. Now, they were beaten 4-0 away in Basel, so... Listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know much about Bulgarian football, because I don't, believe it or
really?
Not.
Really?
But I do know that...
That's disappointing.
They drew 1-0 with Sofia.
What's on your paper? It's last week's shopping list.
But I was looking, doing some research earlier.
All right.
And what came across is their whole team is worth somewhere between 5 and 10 million.
Okay.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? And it's just getting back to honesty of effort. I mean, if you have that... And you can add that to a little bit of know-how and a little bit of footballing intelligence and technical ability. I mean, you can go a long way. I mean, that's the prerequisite, I would have thought, for every professional football team. And I know Liverpool are really poor at the minute. And Ludo Goretz, they're going to finish above us in the group, I think.
Dear Jesus. Okay, well...
No, but I mean, I just have to be realistic from how we're performing presently, and we're not impressed.
This is going to be the worst set of predictions we've ever gotten in terms of what people are going to go for. Molly, I'll start off with yourself. How do you see this game against Ludo Goretz going in terms of a prediction, please, mate?
I think we're going to scrape the win. Clive, I think we might get 1-0 or 2-0 win over there.
Lovely. Okay. And is that based on and dependent on changes for you? Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't think Ludo Goretz. Yeah, they're not a bad side. They've got a bit of hunger and desire about them, but that's about it. I think we'll have too much from no matter what side goes
on. No matter what side. Okay, interesting. Floody, yourself?
It all boils down to if Rodgers takes his kind of balls out of Steven Gerrard's gear bag. And just says, Roy gets the whole 22 in, sits them down and says, this is my 11. You're fucking starting. You play well, put the fucking effort in. You keep the jersey for Saturday. Simple as that. None of this shit that you're coming in, you're coming out.
Yeah.
I think if he starts 11, the 11 maybe go over it. I think, and just say, listen, lads, you've got to work your absolute nuts off for 90 minutes. That's the basic. That's the minimum. That's the minimum I'm asking for you. And then let the football take over after. I think we'll win. I think if he goes out with this attitude of a few of the boys in the team, Johnson's, Skirtles, forget about it.
So call it for me, Dan. Call for me what you think will happen in terms of...
I think he will go with a youthful team. And I think we win.
We'll win. Okay, Neil?
It was just like the lads were saying there, it depends on the team he picks. And he has to change it. You know what I mean? I think the best we'll do is get a draw, to be honest.
Really?
Because we're not scoring goals, I'm sure. We get one goal.
Realistically, that would mean that we're going out of Champions League.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right.
Can I just add to that?
Please.
The World Champions League, I hope we go out of Europe as well. I don't want to go into that.
Okay, that is a different conversation. We'll get to that again. Andy.
Yeah, so he's not going to play the same team again because he would have had one eye. He would have had one eye on the European game during the week. So it's going to be changes, okay? So if he makes the right changes, I think no matter who he brings in, really, man for man, we better individuals than them.
Yeah.
So it's then it's all down to the performance and who wants it more. They're going to want the loads. So let's just hope it's some of the performers from out Madrid come in and fucking fight for the team for a change. And possibly we can win. But I just not feeling at the moment.
You're not feeling it. So what are you
just not feeling?
If I put you on the spot to call it, what do you think?
1-1.
1-1. Okay, so that's two draws and two victories. I think Molly might have the right idea. I think we might just have a little bit too much. Irrespective, even if it is a disappointing 11, I think we might just scrape through and it'll be all in the Basel game, and that might be even more terrifying. So I see a narrow win. Phil?
If we break up the worst partnership, centre-back partnership that we've ever had in the last 20 years, and we don't play the cheat at left-back or right-back or wherever he's going to play, right?
Who's that for?
Yeah, and then we will have a chance of winning the game.
Okay.
Play those in the positions, whether he's right back or left back or wherever he is, play Skirtle and Lovren, and we won't win.
Okay.
And that's like, there's no point saying what the prediction is, because it's all going to rely on what the lineup is.
You don't have a feeling one way or the other how he's going to go, because it's so hard to predict him.
I think that he will go with that back four again, and I think we won't win.
Okay.
And I think he the only reason he leaves Moreno out the weekend is because he's definitely playing midweek.
That's Andy, look, I've given up thinking.
Logic has gone out the window, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine why else you would leave Moreno out. It just makes so much sense that he's playing midweek.
But it doesn't mean that he doesn't switch a man back to the right back.
Oh, wait. I think it's at Maguilo's expense.
Yeah, but and that's what I'm saying. You start him and you don't break
him in goal.
But no, you start him and you don't break up the centre back partnership. All you're doing is moving a problem over to the opposite side of the pitch.
Unfortunately, I agree with you there. I think he will probably stick with the two lads. I just hope that God Torre comes in, but I just see him starting with them.
Oh, that was nice and upbeat. It's always nice to...
Let's move on to Stoke at the weekend.
It's always nice
Stoke.
To be looking forward to a Champions League night, you know, full of anticipation and joy and happiness. Anyway, fuck that. Stoke City is next to look at.
A windy weekend in Stoke.
Yes, and, well, actually, they are at home. We are at home at the weekend. So, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff. Stoke City come to Liverpool. Is it all going to hinge, Phil, on what happens midweek in terms of the Liverpool that they see and they face?
I'll just rewind back.
Mate, you've got an editor. You don't need to do the noises.
It saves me having to add those special effects in later on. But no, again, if he does start the youth and he breaks it up and he does say to them, whoever plays well starts again at the weekend, forgetting the whole rotation stuff, just to make a point that you keep your jersey based on performance before we get back into a rotation piece, then, you know, we're playing a very different Stoke team. This isn't the Tony Pulis side. Hughes has now moved away from that kick-a-ball football that they played.
Kick-a-ball football?
Yeah. And,
it's a technical term. It's a technical term.
Carlos kick-a-ball. And... but that, you know, that's how we then go and get a result against them. If he goes and just reverts the type and puts it in, I don't see a result at the weekend.
Jesus, you've gone straight to predictions.
Well, what am I going to say? So much is going to rely on what team he puts out at the weekend, and we're back into it. We're back into the same position that we were previously.
Okay, Floody, Stoke City at the weekend. Would you be inclined to agree with what Phil's saying there in terms of the team needing to be just there on performance only, and let's get rid of this stupid whatever it is long-term planning thing that he's been talking about and get rid of the old favourites? And do you think that's likely?
It's not likely.
Yeah.
It should happen, but it's not likely.
Yeah.
I suspect a poxy nil or draw at home, because I've been to two of them against Stoke over. Phil was asleep in the cop that day. So I keep reminding him. two horrific games. I've seen an awful, awful game from Saturday, because I do think he'll revert the type.
Yeah.
And like, even Wednesday, I know we just talked about, I don't think he's going to pick what he thinks is the strongest side, because this is a must-win game for him.
Yeah, and that's what worries me too.
And his must-win game, his best side is what played on Saturday, which is frightening.
Yeah, you know?
I think come Saturday, it's going to be just an awful, an awful game.
What about our capacity to, surely, I mean, like, yeah, okay, look, everything goes out the window lately because the form is so awful. Yeah. But Stoke City, like Palace, have been on a shitty enough run. Like, you know, ever going to turn it around, it's at home against D fucker, surely.
Again, though, like Palace, they're up for it. The only thing that beat Liverpool is just be up for it a little bit more than them. Just want it a little bit more than them. Mm. And there's, if you bring 7-8 players out in the field that want it more than you, we've got 4 or 5 that are up for it. Yeah. You're going to get turned over somewhere, you know.
That's the pattern, Neil, isn't it?
It's like, this is unreal, isn't it? I'm so depressed.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, we're just going around the table just saying Liverpool are shit and we're not going to win. I mean, that's all we're saying, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's just like, whatever I said for Ludogorets, just apply that to Stoke and sure, there you go.
Yeah. Molly, are you as depressed as everyone in the room here, mate?
Yeah, I kind of like Neil and Stoke are basically the Ludogorets of the Potteries, aren't they? So,
yeah. You know,
It's another one of those games, and whatever side you vote against Ludogorets, if they do the job, if he does make the changes that we think he's going to make, then I hope he sticks with them for Stoke. At least gives him a chance to show that they're that something better than what we have out at the moment.
Yeah.
The problem you have with Stoke is that if you consider what their centre-backs are good at, and you consider the type of forwards that he's played consistently through the season, that's the centre-forwards that they want to play against. What they don't want is really fast, nippy centre forwards who are going to play off the shoulder and look for balls in behind them. They're happy to front up the strong physical forwards who, you know, who they can turn and face away from goal because they're not going to pose a threat to them. And when we played against Stoke last year, what we were able to do, especially when we played them there, was in, I think it was the 3-2 win that day.
That was a mad game. Yeah, we got 2 very late goals.
Yeah, your man, the left back scored. Ali Sissoko scored the mad goal to open up the deflection, and then Sturridge came off the bench and changed the game for us. But what we were able to do then was get them to come on to us and stretch them. You know, they're not going to open themselves up to a quick counter attack if we're playing a strong physical forward with one up top. And you know. At some stage, yeah, you just have to do something radically different. You have to change the focus of the way we're attacking. And we haven't once changed the way we've attacked the season with the exception of the Spurs game. And unless you change that against Stoke, they're going to happily either put the two centre-backs up against Lambert or the two centre-backs up against Balotelli. And at some stage, we just have to change it. Mm. You know, and it's for me, it's impossible to think that he can't change this up at this stage, because you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Like he has been doing,
and then expect that we're going to, that suddenly the win is going to come from somewhere and everything suddenly changes it around. Going back to what we said, you know, change it up. Give them something to think. Just give teams something different to think about, because at this moment in time, they don't even have to do their homework. They don't even have to do their homework on Liverpool. They know exactly what they have to do, because they're going to face the exact same thing week in, week out. No movement up top. No thing around it. And, you know, I know we sound a bit down on it, but like, you can't just sit around and go, this is all going to be okay.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be okay unless something's changed.
It's not
going to
be okay.
No, it's not, though. Unless something dramatically changes, it's not going to be all right.
No matter what spin you try and put it there, it's impossible. Like, you'd be just talking shite, really, to try and put positives on and predict that we're going to somehow blitz them.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, like, if it goes the way I'm expecting midweek, I just can't imagine how bad Anfield is going to be at the weekend. The groans and the lack of atmosphere, like, and it's just going through the team. And I mean, the players had to give the fans something, the fans had to give the players something, but it's just a really, really dark time at the moment. But if Rodgers changes up midweek and they do put on a impressive performance and they win and things are perk up a bit and he does try and change something, as I said earlier on, the Palace game was a bit of a turning point for me when I start kind of believing less that he would start to change things. But if he done what I feel he should do and just stop playing with the strikers on their own that don't score goals and put three busy fellas up front, I couldn't agree more with Phil. It's exactly what Stoke want, is deep balls coming in high and just straight up out Lambo all day.
Yeah.
And then you just know there's a mistake or two at the back and they'd be ready to pounce.
Yeah.
And I mean, Walter's going through a bit of a spell at the moment.
Isn't he always?
And
should have Liverpool, him on Bojan.
Liverpool is his favourite.
Had a great goal a couple of days ago.
To do these things to. So,
That's yeah. Molly,
100-0.
Molly, do you feel like there's any justification to, like, I feel like I should be trying to force some sort of positive agenda through here, and I can't really. I'm nodding in agreement with the lads. It's really hard to kind of even have the usual, you know, fuck this, we're Liverpool, etc. Or do you feel the same, or am I alone in that?
There's no positives, Trev. There really isn't. Like, as Phil said there earlier on, we're trying the same things again, 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 and we're expecting different results.
Mm.
Well, that's the definition of insanity,
yeah.
As Einstein said. You know, if you're going to try the same things again, 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 you're going to happen, the same results are going to happen again, again, and again. So we need to change things up. And if there is any positive to be had, is that after this run that we've had, that surely now Rodgers is going to look at it and go, I'm going to have to change something. So if you're going to take any positive, is that the run has been so bad that we need to change it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The only thing that makes me nervous about that is I thought after the last international break that would happen, and I thought after the one just gone by that would happen, and yet it hasn't. So anyway, look, talk to me. Well, sorry, Andy, did you know?
Actually, just now you say that, wasn't the weekend the first time Rodgers really spoke about his job being, you know, under...
There's been glimmers.
He's been kind of asked subtly, I suppose. It was a Liverpool press conference, so he wasn't going to be asked blatantly, but he did kind of talk about it for the first time. So maybe now he's saying, okay, well, I better do something drastic here, because otherwise the job... It is a kind of a last throw at the dice as such now.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. Molly, start us off with a prediction for the weekend against Stoke then, please, mate.
A draw,
okay. Floody.
A draw as well, yeah.
A draw as well. How do you think, Neil?
It's a funny old game, isn't it? No, draw.
A draw as well. This is fucking one. Okay, Andy.
I'm going to go with a win.
Yeah.
To start. The only reason is you just can't keep losing games. Eventually, even the shit as the teams, you know, eventually just win. You know, and like, look, Stoke aren't great. So you've two poor teams playing each other, and I think maybe just a home advantage or something's just going to go away. We might even get a penalty. We get a penalty and score the goal and win the game. Yeah,
Steven Gerrard.
So 2-1.
You know the way when we used to be going through a rocky patch and you'd just be clawing at results and you come across a team and it'd be like, oh, fucking law of averages. They haven't won ages. They're going to beat us, aren't they? We are now the team who, on the law of averages, like Andy says, has to win. So I see a win. I think it'll probably be narrow enough, Phil.
I think it'll be windy.
Fucking great. Predictions over.
I am Lou Schwarre. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
As well.
Let's do this.
I'm so psyched.
Awesome.
I'm so psyched for this.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
You guys.
First question that we are going to deal with on
Trippers
Chat. Of course it is. First question we're going to deal with on Trippers Chats. Get the fucking buttons out. Is Alan Finney. Molly, I'm actually going to come to you first on this one, mate, because Alan's wondering, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, or maybe it's just gone past. I'm not really 100%. You can invite three people for Thanksgiving dinner. They can be dead. I don't know how that works. Or they can be alive. How would you work that, Molly?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be going with the old ridges of Malcolm X and Gandhi and all these people like that. I would go with Seth MacFarlane.
Right.
Johnny Cash.
Right.
And Bill Burr. And I was about my famous Triple B for the day. Yeah.
What's that now?
It's burgers, bongs and beer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very nice. Very nice. And you reckon that would be good company for that particular sort of a soiree?
Johnny Cash there with music and...
Burgers, bongs and beer.
Yes. Johnny Cash, Seth MacFarlane and... Who was it? I missed the last one. Will Ferrell, was it? Very nice. Yeah. Okay. I think that works very well as a soiree. Anyone else got any kind of gatherings they'd like? Or who would you, anyone, even just a random shout for who you'd have? Over.
On a depressing note.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, I did write something down.
Go on.
Lee Harvey and Oswald. No, David Bowie and Orson Welles as well. David. I just wrote Orson Welles because that kind of makes me sound intelligent.
Yeah. That's really, man. But,
Director of Citizen Kane, and he's quite influential.
The way I'm feeling at the moment.
Oh, yeah, go on.
All depressed about Liverpool. You have to have three people you really, really despise in this world.
And a big hammer. Have the dinner on Wednesday night and invite Lovren, Skirtle and Johnson.
Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A locked door, hammer and all that. And Pat Nevin, Roy Curtis, and that comedian I don't like, Ed Bourne. I'm fucking wiping them out.
Damo. Oh,
me?
Yeah, go on, Floody.
Elvis, Frank Sinatra, and Dean Martin.
Jesus, Floody. What? Yeah. So you're just going to have a bit of a sing song, is what you're telling me?
They look deadly crack.
I reckon they'd be good crack. Yeah.
Would you not be just a spare fucking bricks? Would they even have be like, who's that fucking wank?
I might be going, I'm annoyed, you're dead.
He's the fucking host. He's the host. Yeah. He's all right. Go on.
Steven Seagal.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Should have seen this coming, and
a flock as he goes.
It doesn't really matter.
Barry Manilow.
Right. That's just.
For a bit of sing song.
For
at the
badness.
End.
Yeah.
At the Copa. Yeah. And then. I don't know. The two of us, that'd be enough.
Just.
Well, you know? Phil, if they're going, I'll go.
And then you come along as well.
I ain't going. Manilow's there, I'm all over.
Because, like, we could get. Steven Seagal be able to play a bit of music as well. And Barry Manilow would play a bit.
Yeah. And I think they all sound very forced, all your gatherings, lads. They all sound like it'd be.
Sophie Loren.
Is Sophia Loren going to go?
Is she good crack? Is she? Sophia's good crack, is she? Okay.
It's a gal to be all over home.
Oh, defo. You'd be mad for Sophia Loren.
Under suspicion, right. Next one up.
Under
is,
siege.
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go.
Fuck's sake, Trev. Have you not watched the filmography after that?
No, I haven't, man. No, I haven't. I was.
I know.
I was watching Remote Control.
That
DVD
instead.
You gave me. Okay, next one up is from Callie, and she is wondering which superhero would you choose to play or to replace, excuse me, Dejan Lovren in the first 11 and help us then as a result. Any sheds for this? What superhero could
the
be
the Crimson
good?
Bolt?
Oh, fucking hell. Is he real? Is he? Because yeah. You could be just bullshitting me now. No. I wouldn't know.
Have you never seen the film Super?
Oh, hang on. Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that. Yeah, yeah. It's
a pure no nonsense superhero with a fucking big wrench.
Where does he keep his wrench?
In his tights.
Walks around with it. Anyone fucking messes on the pitch, smash across the fucking head with the wrench. You know,
the crimson
you know, you shut up crime, so he'd be a shut up Johnson, smash. Shut up Scotland, smash.
That's absolutely fantastic. Right, we're not going to beat that. Joe Pepper has a very divisive question based on religion, Molly, which I know you'd be up for taking. And he's wondering what religion is the worst. Be careful here, fella.
I'd probably have to say the Prince Philip movement.
Oh, yeah? What the hell is that?
I'm not done with that? Well, basically, it's a religion over in the island of Vatu, I think it is, where they think that Prince Philip is a god. So, you know,
that's them listeners. So,
like Jesus, yeah, I can get into that. Zeus, even. Yep.
Yeah.
Odin, yeah. Yeah, dead on. But Prince Philip's a god? No, I'm not having that.
that's only fair, I think. Next one up is from... Adib Saeed, and Adib is wondering which member of the Bunker crew is the most metrosexual.
Well, Steve-O thinks he is.
Steve-O is in what way would Steve-O be metrosexual? Is it the good line he has in moisturizers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He always looks kind of unwashed as well.
He does, yeah. I'd say he's a fan of Botox.
Would Steve-O be into the Botox?
So, yeah. He gets the water up the arse.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. A colonic irrigation. Yeah, yeah. Yes, he does. Yes. Okay. So, Steve, all of this?
No, I think it's you, Trent.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you get the water up the arse?
Literally.
With water. Right. And the last one then is.
You'd love to be the most metrosexual, wouldn't you?
I'd love to be what?
The most metrosexual out of us.
Not really, no.
You would, yeah.
Why would I love to
You've
be the most?
You've always got the hats on and everything.
Yeah, and the polo neck.
Because hats.
And the polo neck as well, yeah.
I've never worn a polo neck in my life, you fuckers. I've a lot of scarves, but I never wear a polo neck.
Are you a polo neck on the last
I
time
I did in
you?
My fucking
hoop. Oh, no, you had a hat. You did. Yeah, there was holes in your sleeves where your thumbs. That's just ridiculous.
And, yeah, what was the story with the holes in the sleeves?
It's just handy. Right.
Literally.
Last question.
It's like, I don't need gloves. I can stick my fingers into, yeah, into the sleeves.
It's good, right? Okay, next one is for you, Molly. It's from Proper Pin on Twitter, and she's wondering, what is the worst Christmas present that you ever got?
Well, when I was a kid, my family didn't have a whole lot of money. So one year, I just asked for something to wear and something to play with. So I got some trousers with pockets cut out.
Can I have a look back soon?
Still has them.
Your favourite pants, Molly, yeah? Your good, yeah, Sunday pants. Right, very good, very good. Anyone else got any shit Christmas presents?
I got a safe for Christmas once.
A fucking safe.
You still have money in your hungry
cunt. And egg cups as well.
Egg cups?
Yeah,
and a safe.
No, seriously.
You got a safe and you open it and there was egg cups in it.
No, you have to like bolt the safe and everything. You're meant to like set it in concrete and shit like. Or put it behind like a painting.
When did you get this? When you were a kid?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no, last year. Anyone else? No?
I always got Whopper presents.
All right, then. We'll come straight to you for this next one from Paul. This is to finish us off. Andy, time travel machine. Where would you go? And would you stay there when you got there?
Serious answer is just the end of this season.
Why would you want to go to the end of this, just to get past?
It's just killing me at the moment.
That's fair enough.
I just can't function at the moment.
So you just,
boom, end of the season.
That's practical.
And then just move on from there.
Move on, Neil.
No, I'm quite happy in my life where I am at the minute.
Are you?
Yeah, everything's going great.
Thanks for the cooperation, Neil.
No problem.
Fucking Paul back.
I can think of a few people that are listening to this and go, no, it's not, Neil. You're an idiot.
Anyway, so you can go forward and back.
Yeah, this is your kind of thing, fellas.
Yeah, man, I'd go about 1,000 years into the future.
Just to see what it's like.
See what, like,
just take would you take
just,
a punt?
Just to see. We're probably all dead.
That's what.
Well, we are all dead.
We are all dead.
You know, the human civilization is probably wiped out, and then I can find out if we ever won the league again.
There'll be five blokes sitting around a podcast. You'd never been
so Sean's saying that you never
how
come
is
back.
Johnson still in that team?
Fucking Gerard.
Oh, God. Right, we're done. We finish with some admin, and we'll start with our weekly shout for our kind host, Astro Park. Book your pitch time at astropark.ie. On our website, lfcdaytrippers.com, you can find a lot of really good articles and some fine writers, and link directly to our show there. Your day trippers tonight were Neil Gray, Carl Kopak, Moley, Andy Young, Damo Flood, Phil Casey, and myself, Trev Denny. And remember, castles made of sand slip into the sea eventually. A little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with his Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he wouldn't be a fearless warrior, Indian chief. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger. Till tomorrow, he would sing his first war song and fight his first battle. But something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea eventually.